You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Melanie Gunther is a certified holistic nutritionist that works with Living Alchemy. That's a new Canadian company producing innovative whole food supplements. She has 15 years of experience within the health food industry, representing different whole food brands. But right now she's working with Living Alchemy, and we've got Melanie Gunther with us today. Welcome, Melanie.
Thanks so much for having me on the show today.
Oh, it's good to have you. So tell me a little bit about fermentation and what's the buzz? Everybody's looking for fermented.
Yeah, it seems to be a really exciting kind of topic nowadays. And fermentation, the actual reaction of fermentation, it's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and it's kind of coming back as a trend nowadays, which is really exciting for a lot of us, especially in the natural health industry. But what really is fermentation? It's, if you think about it in kind of the science terms, is that it's the chemical reaction of when a microbe consumes a carbohydrate. And so what happens with that is that the metabolic process of that, it creates thousands and thousands and thousands of nutrients for not only the microbe to consume, but it also gives us digestive nutrients as well. So we know fermentation as commercial products, things like wine or beer and cheese and yogurt, but it also creates things like flavors in commercial products, and also B-complex supplements that we get at the health food store. B-complex vitamins are created through fermentation in a commercial process.
So is beer and wine good for your gut?
Of course they are. So fermentation, when we do fermentation at home, things like sauerkraut or wild fermentation, what creates is bacteria and yeast, which of course we know is fantastic for our gut flora. And I'm sure, have you ever taken a probiotic supplement before?
Yes, I have.
Perfect. So in creating those probiotic supplements, you can also create that at home as well through things like sauerkraut. So when you create fermented cabbage, which is sauerkraut, it creates things like probiotics and yeast. And those are the good bacteria that's in our system. So what happens with that is it creates a great gut flora or good microflora for our systems to function properly. So things like our digestive function or our immune system function, even our mood is beneficial to that.
Okay, Melanie, if you have, if you're prone to candida or yeast already in your system, how do you work with that? Is it better not to put fermented products in with that?
Well, actually, it is really good for that. So when you have a good microflora in the system, it creates a balance. So things like pathogenic yeast or bacteria, and you did a great example of Candida albicans yeast, when you have a really good balance of the microflora in the system, it actually pushes out the bad guys. So if you have a yeast infection, that means you have an overgrowth of a Candida albicans. That means that your whole system is out of balance. And what you can do to create balance is get more of the good guys in there, like the good bacteria. And so you can either eat fermented foods or you can take a probiotic supplement to get that balance back in.
Okay. Things like cheese, beer, wine, does that create more of a problem, though?
Well, yes and no. So it depends on how the product is created. So, for example, in commercial products that we could buy at the grocery store, and this is more like the conventional grocery store, you can actually get really good probiotics and yeast from cheeses, but only if they're raw. So if the product is pasteurized, and they'll say right on the package, if it is pasteurized, that all the bacteria and yeast are actually killed off before it's packaged and given to the consumer. So, yes, that kind of fermented food is not going to help the system.
Okay.
All the good stuff is killed off.
So look for a raw cheese with live active bacteria in it if you're looking for cheese.
That's right. Or even yogurt, too. Best idea is to actually look for sauerkraut that's in your grocery store.
Okay. And to get that gut health moving, what are all those microbes in there? Are they permanent residents or are they always moving through?
They're always moving through. So that actually brings up a good topic. So my gut flora in, you know, especially in my environment down here in Vancouver, is going to be completely different to someone's gut flora, say for yours in Prince George. Our environment definitely plays a role in how our gut flora thrives and survives. And so when we look at fermentation and probiotics in regards to health situations is that when the fermentation process happens, there's actually something called ferment metabolites that are created that nourish and regenerate our system. But also another point about that is it's kind of a two-for-one, is that you get all the probiotics, like the yeast and bacteria, in the ferment as well as the probiotic supplement. So there's a really interesting quote that's utilized quite a bit in our industry, and it was done by Louis Pasteur. And so this guy, our microbiologist, from many, many years ago, he came up with the idea that the microbe is nothing, but the terrain is everything. So what does that even mean? What is the terrain? Mm-hmm. So what we look at is the terrain is actually our gut lining. So the microbe, of course, is the probiotics that are in our ecosystem. So how to kind of give an analogy of what that looks like is that if we look at planet Earth, the surface of the Earth is the terrain, just like what we would think a terrain would look like. So all the mountains, the soil, the trees, everything. The microbe would be like us, the humans. So if our terrain is healthy, then our microbes and us will be healthy. If the terrain is unhealthy and it's toxic, think about, you know, polluted air, polluted water, then the microbes are going to be unhealthy as well, and so will we. Mm-hmm. So when we look at fermented foods or even probiotic supplements, is that the microbe doesn't necessarily matter that much. It's actually the terrain. And if you have a healthy terrain, the terrain will dictate what microbes will exist. And hopefully it's the good guys, not the bad guys.
So how do we nourish this terrain to get the balanced microflora?
Well, the easiest way to do it is eat fermented foods. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, if you have a healthy terrain, this is actually a very interesting statistic. So one bacterial cell in a very healthy terrain can reproduce within 24 hours to 4 sextillion cells. So sextillion is a ginormous number. Don't even try counting it. But what it is it's actually 21 zeros behind the number 4. So if you have one good bacterial cell in a good species, in the right terrain in your gut flora, it can survive and thrive much better than it would on a bad terrain. So how do we nourish that terrain? Just like your question, is eat fermented foods. So okay. Those fermented foods, what I've mentioned before, is that it creates something called ferment metabolites. And those ferment metabolites, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of them, those ferment metabolites is what's going to nourish our terrain and our gut lining to regenerate and heal itself. And that becomes a more positive terrain for the great bacteria and the yeast.
Okay, what about all those people out there who don't eat fermented foods?
Yeah, and there's a lot of us, actually. So in North America, unfortunately, our diet, our traditional diet, you know, in the last couple hundred years, is that we don't eat fermented foods anymore. You know, we don't utilize fermentation as a way to preserve foods. So unfortunately, we don't get those nutrients from the fermented foods that we actually should be. So the easiest question is, or the answer to that question, is start eating fermented foods. Mm-hmm. So start very slowly. You know, take a teaspoon or a tablespoon of yogurt or sauerkraut is even better, and slowly build up and get to the point where you can do like half a cup to three quarters of a cup of fermented foods a day. So if you look back at traditional cultures from thousands of years ago, about 40% of their regular diet was fermented foods. If you compare that to now, which is almost nothing,
yeah,
a big difference.
What's going to happen if I go home today and 40% of my food is going to be cultured sauerkraut or that? What's going to happen to my gastrointestinal tract?
Yeah, exactly. So definitely don't jump on it and get into like a full fermentation idea in your diet, because it's not going to end well. So with anything, it's all about balance and starting slowly. So with anything that introduces into your diet, start slow. Even if it's water, you know, water we need every day. We need it for hydration. But if someone starts to drink, you know, 2.5 liters, 3 liters of water a day and they're not used to anything, it's not going to end well. So get your body to get balanced and slowly work around that, and then to the point where it's optimal for you.
Okay. Can you give our listeners some ideas about some great books that they could look to find some recipes for ferments?
Totally, yeah. So fermentation is easily done at home. If you think back to a couple hundred years ago, most of our grandparents did fermentation at home, mostly more for food preservation than anything else. But, of course, you get that benefit of the nourishment. So before I start talking about the actual books, there is a little bit difference in fermentation when done at home. So there's two types. So one is a starter fermentation, and then the second one is actually a wild fermentation. So the difference between the two is the starter fermentation is when you use a starter culture. So if, for example, if you want to make yogurt at home, you can use the whey, which is the clear liquid on top of a commercial yogurt. You can take that liquid, put it into some dairy product, so a milk, for example, and then you can make yogurt out of it. So you're basically taking a culture that's already existed, and then you're making another product. The other way to do it is wild fermentation, and this is actually one of my favorites. And the wild fermentation is basically utilizing the microbes that are in your air and in your own environment. And this is really, it's prevalent mostly in sourdough starters. So to make sourdough, is that you take water and flour, and then you just let it sit. And so when that happens is that all the microbes in your own environment will inoculate that water and flour, and it'll start to grow into a sourdough starter. So you actually get a lot more microbes in a wild fermentation than you would in a regular commercial fermentation or taking a culture that's already existed. So some really great books to learn how to do this, and it's very, very simple. People think that fermentation is tough. It's totally not. Three favorite books of mine are The Art of Fermentation by Sandor Katz, and then Nourished Kitchen and Nourishing Traditions. So if you kind of noticed, is that Nourish is in both of those two titles there, which is great.
So when we're going to practice fermenting our own foods, is there any concern over the wrong bacteria growing?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the ways that you can get around that, and you'll learn that in some of these books, or even if you Google it, is you usually add in sea salt into the starter culture. And so what that does is that sea salt can prevent any of the bad bacteria or bad funguses from growing before the good guys get a chance to reproduce and thrive and then overtake that environment. And once they do is they create something like lactic acid. And acids are really great at food preservation. And so those acids will also keep out any pathogens too.
Isn't that wonderful? All naturally occurring.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great food preservation method. And although it takes a long time to produce, for example, really good sauerkraut, for me, I ferment probably upwards of 3 to 6 months on some sauerkrauts, depending on how sour you want it. Mm-hmm. It's totally worth it at the end because it's all those good nutrients from the ferment metabolites, but also all the good bacteria and the yeast that you're going to get in it.
So take us through just to how to make sauerkraut real quick. You cut the cabbage up.
Well, that's the first step. So first of all, what I would always say is use organic vegetables first.
Okay.
So grab a nice head of cabbage from your supermarket, take it, cut it in half, and then keep on cutting it down until smaller bits. Now, it's kind of a preference whether you like smaller little chunks or if you like more thin strips that you typically see in a commercial sauerkraut. For me, I like smaller chunks. Once you get that prepared, you put a little salt all over it, put it into a bowl, some saran wrap over top of it, and then just let it sit. And that sea salt is also going to help to pull out a little bit of the water from the cabbage. So once that is done, and it takes usually about, a couple hours, maybe 4 hours, put it into a nice big mason jar, and then you're going to take something like a wooden pounder. You can actually get fermentation pounders. It's really just a really fancy piece of wood that looks like a pastry roller, and then you just smash all the cabbage. And what that does is it brings out all of the water from the cabbage because fermentation has to happen in a liquid. So once you get that liquid going, it should cover about half an inch to an inch above the cabbage. Put some weights in there. You can get fermentation weights. Typically, they're either stone or they're glass. And that'll keep the cabbage underneath the water. And once it's underneath the water, then none of the pathogens can also get out of it either. So then put a lid on it, let it sit for, depending on how long you want it. Some people do it for a couple of days. I do it for several months, and then you can eat it from there, and it's delicious.
So it doesn't sound like a very expensive thing to do. You can do it just basically with things you have around the house.
Absolutely. And most people have extra mason jars anyways. And you can do other vegetables as well. You don't have to stick to sauerkraut. You can do something like kale or chard or beets. Pickles, of course. People tend to make pickles with vinegar. Not the best way, and it's definitely not the most nourishing, but instead you can make pickles the old traditional way by fermenting them.
Okay. Well, Melanie, this is fascinating, all this fermentation. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, you're going to have to let us know what this has to do with fermented products like the living foods, okay? Living Alchemy. We'll be right back.